today, your guest host, Karen Benton, is here. Karen is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. Joyful, abundant, and bursting with energy, here is your guest host, Karen Benton.
Hello, and welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Karen Benton, and I'm honored to be a regular host on Colette Stephan's show that she created. I'm here every third Wednesday of the month. Stay tuned for the next hour. We'll be exploring cutting-edge stories, information, and experiences to assist you in igniting the capacity within you to resolve life's conflicts and challenges. Shift happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time live on the airwaves, and podcasts are available on my website for the shows that I'm on at KarenBenton.com, at TruthIsFunny.com, and on TransformationTalkRadio.com. The work we explore in these shows is intended to enliven each listener to their own capacity to create and experience transformation. Repeated listening to the podcast has been reported to be a powerful gateway to change. We invite you to call in live with comments, questions, shares, anything that you desire to participate with. 1-800-930-2819. We sure would love to hear from you. And together, we can transform life's conflicts and challenges into possibilities and potentials with ease and fun. Just keep reminding each other of this incredible potential. Today, I am just thrilled. I'm sort of moving into the movement world, which might seem a little strange on the radio, but I'm very excited for the guest. I have gotten to know her through my Franklin Method training and have always been enamored by her wisdom, by her speech is something that has an incredible soothingness to it that makes you just interested in anything she's speaking about. Her name is Allison Wesley, and she is a Franklin Method faculty, co-author of Understanding the Pelvis with Eric Franklin, and leads her own corporate yoga company, Working with Yoga. She lives in Portland, Oregon, which is also the setting of her therapeutic movement video series, Through Movement. When she isn't teaching classes, conducting workshops, or writing, she enjoys samba and salsa dancing. She also loves taking her two German Shepherd dogs to parks in the beautiful Northwest. Allison plays her original music in a band with her husband and delights in eating Cuban food at his restaurant. And she is a stepmother to two wonderful children and will forever be trying to learn Spanish. Allison, thank you so much for joining us on the show and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It is kind of a funny task to explore movement when we are on the radio. So, of course, we're going to be exploring concepts that surround movement. And the title of today's show was What Are You Thinking? Which is the phrase, Allison, would you share with us? What is it? How do we make this the title? What does it have to do with anything? Because we're always talking about, oh, I'm thinking too much. Tell me.
Well, I think both from yoga and from Franklin Method, this is the real meat of the practice, which is what are you thinking of while you're doing what you're doing? And of course, with Franklin Method, we have tools to learn how to participate with those thoughts. So to create a way of thinking that can actually improve eventually everything. But for example, while you're walking, if you're thinking something that's actually vivid and actually happening in your body, it can improve your experience. So what I often ask my students is, what are you thinking right now? And oftentimes it creates this moment of pause, and you can see my students will sort of stop what they're doing. And it's like, I don't know, where was I? And we find that if we're actually working with our thoughts, that's where we get the most change.
It is interesting, right? It's sort of our habit of, I describe it for myself as checking out.
Exactly.
It's like that moment when you're driving your car and you're in a conversation with someone and you pull into your driveway and you're like, how did I get here?
Exactly.
The body has this amazing ability to memorize how to do things, but yet it sounds like what you're saying is we can have an impact on improving how we do them when we actually focus on them.
Absolutely. And I also think that what are you thinking is kind of an interesting way of going even deeper into what do you believe about this moment? Mm-hmm. And I think often in movement practice, we have this overarching paradigm that this belief that things should be really difficult or complicated. And so we're looking for that experience. We're looking for things to feel like effort, or we're looking for things to just feel really intense. And I think that often when you start to look at that deep belief and you start to realize that things can in fact be a little bit easier and eventually effortless and all of that, then that also improves what we're doing.
Wow. So you're saying easier and effortless, but yet effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the piece that I love so much about what I've learned in Franklin Method and how to deliver that to my yoga students, is that there's so much language currently around teaching yoga in a way of engaging this or strengthening that, or, you know, pushing this or pulling that, and everything feels like a lot of work. And if that's what we believe it should be, and that's what we're thinking it should be, then that's what we get. But if we can, you know, start to feel into effortlessness and start to explore energy flow and start to explore how things, when they're actually dynamically balanced, can give you sort of an ease and a joy and a buoyancy and a softness to movement, you know, that can completely change things. And that really goes into what you're thinking of while you're doing it. So if you are looking for an easeful situation, chances are you'll find a more easeful situation.
Wow. So I'm curious to know, you know, ease and effortlessness seems like a pretty profound goal for humanity as a whole. But how did you get into this? Like, what was your path like? What led you to exploring the value of, if I dare even simplify it, with ease and effortlessness and movement, right? It's so much more than that, but that's a phrase I'll use for now, knowing it actually does not at all encompass all that you're bringing to it. But how did you get here? How did you come upon this type of experience as a career, as a passion, as a desire to explore every day?
Well, I was raised by, my father is a Tai Chi teacher and practitioner. So I was raised seeing that kind of movement around. And I've always been really drawn to that feeling. And so through that, I found yoga early on. And I wasn't moved to teach yoga until, a boyfriend of mine passed away, and it became the whole thing that gave me solace. And I realized I wanted to give that gift to other people. And so that brought me into the teaching world. And through that, I just started to seek and go deeper and take as many trainings and study with as many teachers as possible. And then I woke up sort of with a spontaneous back injury. It was about maybe 10 years ago now. And it was probably one of the biggest gifts I could have ever received, both for my own practice and for my teaching, because it caused me to completely look at everything that I'd been doing differently. Mm. And I opened to one page in the Franklin Method book and the dynamic alignment. And it was the one page on the exact area that I had been challenged with, and with the spine. And up until then, all I had seen was pictures of my own spine that doctors had told me were diseased and were never going to heal. And it was just all this negative, you know, really sad, kind of heartbreaking imagery around me. And I opened to this page of Eric Franklin's book that has a picture of the spine, but the spine is corks that are floating in water. Mm. And then the water, the space between, is the discs. And by looking at that without reading a word, I felt, I want to say like 50% improvement. I felt feeling back in my leg. I'd had some nerve damage. It was unbelievable how just seeing this really positive image and then feeling it in my body completely changed what I was feeling.
All right, let's get a little bit more, if you don't mind, specific yeah. about what exactly was the diagnosis. What were you told? Because so many people are faced with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to kind of really open people to the potential that lies within each of us to create change in that experience.
Yeah, I had 3 herniated discs and degenerative disc disease in 4 discs, and that caused nerve damage down the leg. So I had all the, the nerve pathways down the shin and the foot, and I had numbness, and I was told that it would probably change my life for the worse and keep me from ever doing yoga again and all of that.
Wow.
So yeah, pretty heartbreaking time. But by seeing that image and of course, then going to the teacher training for Franklin Method and starting my journey with that, I realized how much I could actually participate with my own healing.
Wow. So we're going to come back in a moment. Time always goes fast. I kind of dive into this a little bit closer, you know, even just to explore a little bit of this degenerative disc disease and the age that you were and what that felt like and sort of transfer that into what is available to change that feeling and sensation and really even the impact that that can have, right? So, oh my goodness. I love this stuff. This is so exciting. So you are listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. And I'm a regular host every third Wednesday of the month. My guest today is Allison Wesley, an incredible movement specialist. When we return, and yoga teacher and Franklin Method instructor. When we return, we will continue with this discussion about diagnoses, injuries, and the potential we have to create change and movement and transformation in that area. Please call in if you have questions, shares, comments, 1-800-930-2819, and we will make some shift happen.
I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
So we are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Karen Benton, and I'm a regular guest host for Colette every third Wednesday of the month. My guest today is Allison Wesley. Allison, before we continue, could you share your contact information with our audience?
Sure. I have a website that is workingwithyoga.com, and that's where you'll find pretty much everything that I'm doing is gathered there. And then I also have my my movement series online through movement, which is THRU movement.com.
Okay, great. So they can all get in touch with you. And I also am KarenBatten.com, which we will also have a podcast page for this show on there, which will have all of Allison's information as well. So we were speaking about, you know, what led you, which I always find that interesting, you know, the paths that get us to where we are, to exploring the Franklin Method and ease and efficiency and effortlessness and movement. And you spoke about how you had experienced and been diagnosed with 3 herniated discs. And I believe you said degenerative disc disease, right?
Yes, which really sounds like a disease when you're told it sounds like something that you'll have for the rest of your life. And it's just it for you.
Yeah. And I wouldn't bet that you were in your 50s or 60s at this point.
Nope. Yeah. No, not yet. No, I was 29. I was 29 years old.
Which is another bit of a, you know, like, right? It brings up those thoughts of like, what am I doing wrong? You know, how do I have something that sounds like it belongs to someone who's gone through a lot of wear and tear in their life?
Yeah.
And I'm young. And could you talk a little bit about, you know, what you have found in your own experience and in your clients' experience of what kind of an impact that feeling alone has on how we engage with our body?
Yeah, and I think it's in my experience, I don't know if we go there necessarily first. I think first we assume that this is just what we were given. You know, oh yeah, this makes sense. My mom had this. Yeah, my grandma had this, and this is genetic. And then you just sort of accept it. You know, and then I think there could possibly be another phase where you question, did something that I'm doing on a daily basis, did this contribute to this experience? And then something that I'm doing on a daily basis, if I change it, can it contribute to my healing? And I think that second piece is, it's just not talked about enough in our collective. You know, I think we just sort of accept that, that we're given a diagnosis and that's it. And we're just fated. We're fated because of that. And, that's really what I'm trying to change, is just the paradigm shift around the possibility that you actually can participate with feeling better and with healing.
Yeah. Cause I would even like, based on your story, you know, you found solace and healing and transformation, you know, through a personal intimate experience of losing a boyfriend, and yoga was your way. And here you were given a diagnosis that could be interpreted to say, the thing I love most is being taken away from me.
Exactly. And the thing that I really thought I was doing it quote unquote right. I had studied everything. And of course, that's where I turned when I was first injured, was doing more yoga and, you know, and doing it the way that I had been doing it, which was, to be honest, was a lot of effort and work. It was a lot of, you know, engaging this and pulling that and this like little construction project within each pose. And I think the reason I like this idea of changing your thoughts to change your experience is that it was what worked for me. You know, after all the exercises I did and all the other stuff that I did to heal my back, it was simply seeing a picture and spontaneously, you know, feeling that picture as being my body that did the most.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite profound, and it's actually how we're living on a daily basis. We are working with the way we're seeing and thinking and believing about the world. And so that's really where we have to make the change.
Mm. Right. When you're walking down the street, what are the thoughts that you have?
Exactly.
When you're doing a yoga pose, what are the thoughts that you have? And I think what you're saying is, like, when we notice it's pretty astounding the category that they often fall in, right? Are they usually of a positive nature? Like, oh, this feels amazing, this is great. Or do they fall into the, I'm doing this wrong. Oh, why doesn't this feel right? Oh, my shoulders hurts. Oh, that's my spine issue again.
Exactly. Or I can't do this because I'm not strong enough, or I'll never be flexible enough, or, you know, all those things are just running the loop in the back of our mind. And that's really where we need to participate, because those thoughts are being generated just like we could generate thought. So, you know, with yoga, with Franklin Method, with lots of wonderful modalities, we can learn how to get inside that loop and create something that's actually, you know, steering the boat in a positive way.
That's fabulous. So you also spoke that you have taken this expertise and this experience and are working in the field of physical therapy, you know, in particular in the area of chronic issues. Share with us how you're using that work in that field.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to get to teach twice a week to a group of people who are they're at the PT clinic that I work at, and they are either post-surgery or not necessarily candidates for surgery, and so they have chronic pain, usually back pain. And we work within a class both with daily activities, so we will, you know, make getting in and out of a chair an exercise, we'll make getting up and down off the floor an exercise, all with imagery. And the piece I love about this group is that we have a lot of dialogue. So I'll interview the group. What could we possibly be thinking right now? Or what are you feeling right now? And I find that with this group and with most people, we have all these ways to explain when we don't like something. You know, it hurts here, I feel pain there. And then instantly we start to describe why. Oh, well, this is my bad hip. Yeah, I had a fall. This is why I feel this. And all of a sudden we're no longer feeling. It's like now we're having stories about the thing that's happening. And so
it's so powerful. Like they go out of feeling into story.
Absolutely. Always. There's a reason. I'm feeling this. Oh, and this is why. And so I just love getting the group to kind of come back and come back into being able to describe what we're feeling. And I have a rule with them that we're not able to say the word pain. So you have to get creative with ways to explain what you're feeling. So, you know, that spot on your back that is the reason you're in class. You can't tell me it hurts. You can't tell me it's in pain. How else can you describe it? And it's just miraculous to see people go down a completely different path of, you know, oh, well, it feels really hot. Okay. Like it's warming, and yeah, like it's kind of melting something. Oh, like it's melting. So it's getting softer. Yeah. Well, maybe it's getting softer. So is it relaxing? And yeah, I guess it's actually relaxing, you know? So you take them down this path where at first the only image they had was that it hurts. And now they realize through their own words and their own thoughts that actually something is changing.
Wow. And because they do say, right, the science shows that chronic pain has a habitual nature to it.
Yeah. And we still can't find out why pain exists, you know, for the most part. It's like you can look at an MRI and, you know, it's anyone's guess as to whether that person will have pain or not.
Right, right, right. And so that interesting thing of going into how someone is describing the pain as really giving you an opportunity to redirect the pain interpretation, right? It sounds like exactly what you did. You've challenged them to, okay, if you can't use pain, you can't use hurt, you're using a different description for it. Right. And that may actually be creating new pathways, new ways of thinking about it, which then leads to maybe even new ways of interpreting it. And suddenly the pain has a larger bandwidth of possibilities than just pain.
Absolutely.
I sort of visualize, like, you know, even chronic pain, I've had a lot of pain with issues in my knees that, or even just working in energy work with my students and clients, that we start to categorize everything as pain, and you're really going in there and opening up that sort of depth that allows them to recategorize it.
Yeah. And I think for the most part, we're not taught, unless we're really involved in a movement practice, we're not really taught to feel our body. So the only time you're aware of anything is when something's wrong. And the issue with that is then you only have compartments in your brain that, you know, you've only experienced your knee when it hurts. And so, you know what I mean? So that's the only time that you have any relationship with it. And what this does is it gives you new compartments to pull from. Oh, this is what a warming, stretched back feels like. This is what a lubricated, buoyant, supported knee feels like, you know? So creating those names and that kind of self-talk around, oh, this is what, relaxed shoulders feels like. Now you have something to record and come back to later when you want to experience relaxed shoulders.
Wow. Which is a whole new sort of experience than the one that has been dominating, particularly people in chronic pain. That's awesome. I love the way you describe it. I think anyone could listen to this and follow along and move out any bit of their, you know, something that they have going on in their own lives. Okay. So as always, things go so fast. I'm writing there feeling my own shoulders starting to melt down and feel a little release and opening in my own tense shoulders. And, but we need to go to a break and we're going to come right back and continue on in this discussion and learning more about all that Allison does. And for each of our community out there that is experiencing chronic pain or pain of any issues or issues with movement or diagnoses that are feeling bigger than them, that we are discussing ways that you can explore participating in changing that experience for you. So we feel free to call in if you have questions. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-930-2819, and we'll be right back.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself, you can't make decisions, and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
This is Karen Benton, and I am the host of the Truth is Funny radio show every third Wednesday of the month. I have Allison Wesley here with me, and we've been discussing, imagery, really breaking down this concept and this sensation and feeling of pain to find the nuggets of opportunity in there to move it through. It's almost to me like we're finding the details in the pain that then lead to an opportunity for the individual to feel a sense of ease, to move into this possibility of creating space in the pain so that we can move it through. I don't even think I can bring the right words to it. Allison does a much better job with that.
No, but, you're doing
I mean, I guess I'm trying to put, I was just amazed at the technique that you used of like, okay, if you can't use pain to describe and you can't use hurt to describe it, how else would you describe that? Oh, okay. Well, that's a softening. That's so powerful. Could be used again and again and again on so many different forefronts. But next let's continue to explore that on some level, but would you describe, you know, how do you apply this to movement or, you know, that phrase that is new to me, but the whole movement world is very familiar with, which they call functional movement. What does that mean? And how do you combine this imagery and these imagery techniques with movement?
That's a great question. I think that often when you're learning how to work with a movement modality, so when you're learning yoga, when you're learning, you know, Tai Chi, dance, all these things, you're learning from a teacher who is passing down what they know, and often it's blended with their opinions, right? So you learn a lot of cues or language that you would use to bring someone into the postures. And I think the collective has been craving a deeper understanding of where these cues even come from. So what's really happening when you're bending your knee in Warrior Two? If all we ever say about that is put your knee on top of your ankle, you know, for those seekers out there, it's like, well, what's happening in there? What's happening in the bones and the ligaments and the muscles? And, you know, how is your body actually moving in a way inside to help spread out and absorb force throughout, you know, as much area as possible? And so that's where functional anatomy comes in, which is such a huge piece of Franklin Method is learning, for example, the way the bones move in the body, and using that then as the image that you're thinking of while you're performing a movement. So it does take a little bit more information and understanding to get that anatomical piece, but once you have it, if your mind is completely connected to the thing that's actually happening in your body and you're seeing it happen while it's happening, of course, the movement is much easier, more efficient. You know, the force is spread out over more area. And I think that's a piece that we're all just starting to get a little taste of, and people are starting to want more. I can give you an example. It's like up until I learned much about functional anatomy, if you talk about the pelvis, I was taught to see it as one chunk. You know, it's like it's either rotated forward or back. And so, yeah. You know, all the old language around tuck your tail, it's like I had no idea that had a whole relationship with pelvic floor muscles and sacral ligaments and spinal muscles and abdominal organs and all the stuff that happens if you quote unquote tuck your tail. I thought it was just one movement. And what learning more about this functional anatomy piece does is it opens up to see, well, no, the pelvis, you know, it's a three-dimensional, you know, multifaceted joint system. And so if you're thinking of it as one piece, you're actually missing all the opportunities of areas that can share force and that can share effort, which actually completely improves the feel of your hips and back when you're in yoga poses.
I'm going to ask you to go a little bit more detail on three-dimensional. Like, what does that mean, a three-dimensional movement?
Yeah, so if you imagine even just simply the bottom of the pelvis, so if you imagine basically like four points, like your two sitting bones, the bones that you could sit on, the tip of your tailbone, and then your pubic bones in the front. So it's kind of like a diamond. Depending on what you're doing, when you're moving into hip flexion, those four points will widen. And that's a whole response to, you know, increasing force in the body. Let's say you're lowering into a chair pose or a squat, for example. As you're lowering toward gravity, the body responds by widening the pelvic floor. Pelvic floor muscles are now like, I imagine, a trampoline that's helping to spread out the force over a little bit more space and area there. And now you have the pelvic floor and the pelvis itself helping to mitigate force between the upper and lower body. So if you move into a chair pose, which is like a simple squat, if you just bend your knees while you're standing and you imagine that those four points are all widening away from each other, chances are you're going to get a lot more ease in the muscles of your back and in your knees because now they're sharing that action with your pelvis.
All right, I'm standing here giving this a go right now. Okay, and anyone out in the community might want to try to do the same thing. If you're just going into, you know, a little squat and imagining even just so simply the bottom of my pelvis widening, the first thing I notice is that my shoulders actually relax. Because I suddenly become aware that I try to get myself to go back up from the squat through squeezing my shoulders. Probably would be the thing that's not functional movement.
Yeah, but you're noticing it. So that's huge. You know, it's like, so then can you come back up from, I don't know, if your pelvic floor is just widened, if you imagine that it's actually narrowing to bring you back up, like this trampoline image we had before, you know, let the trampoline rebound and bring you back up.
Then you get that sort of effortless sort of imagining the force coming from lower below, and then the shoulders suddenly feel like they don't have to do as much of the work.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hello, source of neck and shoulder tension.
There it is. It's the pelvic floor, of course.
Oh, we did it.
We did it. You can really achieve a lot just by understanding the pelvic floor. It's like your entire life will change. I mean, not to oversell. But
we're joking about it, but I also have trained. I'm in the process of training. I'm, you know, as a Franklin Method instructor as well, and we all joke about how everything comes back to the pelvis. And funny, here we are. You know, people who have neck and shoulder pain could unknowingly be related to the tension that they're holding, or lack of tension. You know, lack of support that they're engaging in their pelvis. Right? I mean, I don't know if that's totally correct, but you probably, again, would have better words to describe that.
No, I think that's very true. And I think often just because we don't know and we're not really taught anything about the body. And And to be honest, even those of us who are working with bodies, like even yoga teachers who get 200 hours of training, which is not much, and they're receiving maybe 10, maybe 20 hours of anatomy in that training, they're learning where the things are. But that, depending on the training, very, very rarely has to do with how those things move.
Yeah.
You know,
I would also, like it's, and well, go ahead. Yeah. You finish what you're saying.
Oh, that was it. Just saying the pelvis is, if yoga teacher trainings could even just mention to their students that the pelvis moves three dimensionally and actually, that is one of the functional ways that the body helps to absorb and spread the force of movement throughout the whole body. I just think that would completely change things. You know, we have so much grip and language out there about engage your pelvic floor, lift your pelvic floor. And we're creating so much internal tension. And it's really, it's challenging to undo it. You can, but it's challenging if you have those really deep internal patterns. You're coming in now, you're going to do big movements like handstands and downward dogs, but you have this pattern of grip. You know, it's tricky.
Yeah. And thus, you know, could be very much related. I don't know if this is true for you, but I am, you know, 48 and I know lots of people who have had hip replacements, knee replacements, shoulder replacements, you know, in their early 50s and in their late 40s.
Oh, wow.
And there's, you know, there, which is crazy, but there's so, and I remember even the movement for the, what's that? The cross training. I know at least three or four people who blew out their shoulders from that, but interestingly are not necessarily having the trajectory of recovery from having shoulder surgery that they had hoped for, you know, a real frustrating path. Of course, that's not going to be everyone. And I think this is exactly what you're speaking to is how can we make these joints last longer? And the key is to look at, you know, to be guided into how to sense and feel your own body. So you know what your habits and patterns are so that you can use the tools that are available to you to change it.
Exactly. And you know, that's a little bit new. So when you think about, without getting too much into some of the history and philosophy of yoga, there are a couple of different schools of thought and in a really kind of simplified version, there's one school of thought that you are not your body and your body is something to be controlled and tamed. And that's where most, in that school of thought is where we get most of the historical language that we have around our yogic practices.
So,
yeah, if you're thinking in terms of that philosophy, which really matched up with a different era than we're in now, if you're thinking of that philosophy, then some of the language around grip this, do that, that makes sense because you're coming at it from a place of trying to control the body. But if you're in the other school of thought, a little more tantric yoga philosophy, that in this life, you are your body is as sacred as anything else. This is how you experience your life. Then in that way, there's a different approach as far as, okay, in the yoga practices, how can you then align with what's, you know, functional, natural, easeful? How can you go along with the body instead of against it?
And then, right, maybe surprisingly become actually stronger and more flexible.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's often not really understood to be, you know, to get stronger, we think we have to, as you were saying, work harder, put more effort forward. Tense, work really hard. I think it comes back to work really hard, which is a patterning of my own, you know, and unknowingly creates tension in the body, which then creates in less efficiency when we move.
Right, right. And it reinforces patterns, you know, and if we're here to change, I mean, why not? When you step on the mat, even if you do it every day, twice a day, however often you do it, it's always an opportunity for change. And if you get on the mat and you do the same thing over and over with the same thoughts, with the same approach, then it's a missed opportunity for improvement and for becoming a better version of yourself.
Oh, that's so powerful. That's a bumper sticker, Allison. That's so good. I'm going to have to transcribe that. All right, community, I will transcribe that and put that on the podcast. Whatever she just said, that was amazing.
Whatever just happened.
It was so good. So moving into that and kind of bringing out that point of the pelvis kind of being our hub and an incredible place of opportunity for creating change, you participated in writing a book with Eric Franklin. Tell us.
I did. It's kind of amazing.
You never think you would be an author.
Yeah. He and I talked about it years ago about, you know, gosh, we need to bring this into yoga. And because it's really already in the Pilates and dance world. And I just think yogis would benefit so much from learning Franklin method. It's completely improved my practice and my students' practice. And so we thought, well, of course we should start with the pelvis, since that's, like you said, the hub and really, you know, can make the most change. And so we wrote a book that has, we've covered several postures, I think 26 postures. First, we go through some of the functional anatomy of the pelvis and all the three dimensionality and the movement and the muscles of the pelvis. And then we call back to that within 26 poses so that you can start to see each pose in a slightly different way. We add images and I've also added some cues and language, whether you're a teacher or not, so that you can start to put it right into practice. And so if you're like me, I don't ever read a book left to right. I don't know why. I sort of open to a page and I'll get sucked in, and then I'll turn to a different section the next day and get sucked in.
Me too.
Good. I'm glad to know that we're not alone.
But I think also have five books out at the same time, which
exactly. Yeah. And this is one that you can do that. You know, if you're, there's a kind of a reference guide, and if you're currently working on, I don't know, downward dog, you can turn to the downward dog section and hopefully it will kind of lead you down a nice rabbit hole of understanding, you know, the notation of the sacrum. It's a really accessible, understandable book. I feel like we really make anatomy digestible and also something that you could just kind of turn to and read a couple pages and still have an improved experience.
Yeah. So if you're having an issue with a particular asana or even an issue in your body, you can use this as a reference point to explore different thoughts, right? When you're doing that pose in your class.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. I think that's the beauty of the Franklin method, is it can be applied to absolutely everything, you know? So you're taking your favorite yoga class, you're taking your favorite Pilates class, but you are having a different internal dialogue with your own body that was so beautifully described with Allison. Maybe even just imaging the bottom of your pelvis being a diamond that widens and narrows, and you can have a total different effect on what it is you experience.
Yeah. And I think that it also doesn't have to even relate to if you have an issue. You know, it's like, I think this is another interesting piece I noticed about working with others, is that, you know, people will show up and they want to improve a specific thing. So I want to feel better in my shoulder. And then once we feel that, we're kind of done. Whereas why not show up to feel, you know, something crazy like ecstatic joy in your whole body? Or, you know, it's like, why do we accept and we're just okay with feeling, oh yeah, I no longer feel pain. And what Franklin method has taught me is that, wow, you can actually experience joy and pleasure just by noticing your body. And also it makes things endlessly interesting. So for me as a yoga teacher, I teach, you know, lots and lots of classes, and a lot of my colleagues are always asking, how are you not getting bored? And it's like, are you kidding me? There are so many things now that I understand. There are so many things going on in every posture that, depending on the day, I can just choose which thing to bring my students' attention toward. And whereas before, if I had a list of cues, yeah, that's going to get boring if I only have four things to say about a pose. But if today I'm looking at downward dog and it's like, you know what, we're going to work with the thoracolumbar fascia. That's super interesting. And tomorrow we can work with the way the scapula rotate on your ribs. You know, it's just like, it's forever. It's endless.
All in the same movement.
Right.
I love what you said. How can I experience something other than pain? It's just so profound that so many of us are unconsciously experiencing pain or trying to get out of pain and then refocusing that into ecstasy or, you know, nirvana or, you know, incredible joy and expansion in any way we move in any part of the day.
Exactly. And I think that to come back to our theme, it's like, I think that we are possibly carrying around this belief that that is just, that's not, that's wild. That's too out there, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk that you could experience joy and bliss in your knees, but why not? This is your life. Your knees are you. And if this is your one life and these are your two knees, you know, the way you experience them is going to become part of your entire trajectory of life. So why not?
And then I would go so far as, you know, bringing that out into the dramatic impact it has on the entire body's experience with stress or the stress response.
Yes, absolutely.
How would you feel to, you know, drawn to sort of elaborate? I mean, number one, pretty much every disease known to man is associated with stress.
Right.
Right. When we're holding our body tense and tight. Where do we go from there?
And you know, when you're injured, for example, your body's response is to protect the area by stabilizing it, by reducing movement. And that's a really important thing that happens right at the moment of injury. But the issue is that that response doesn't go away. And so over time, you know, the people I work with who are in pretty chronic pain, they're holding and protecting everything. And that then becomes, you know, that signals to your nervous system that we're still injured, which signals the sympathetic nervous system. Now we're stressed. Now we're not breathing. We're not digesting. You know, it's like you said, it's a full body, you know, full system issue that may have started with that foot injury that you had.
Yeah. And so, so many of us commonly think just exercising alone reduces stress, which it does. But it sounds like what you're saying, we can get even more of a rewiring towards ease and effortlessness than we thought possible in any exercise that we do, which in the long run, you could very validly extrapolate to say, can reduce the incidence of disease if we know that disease is a result of stress, which has been documented in science over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah, we know that stress is dramatically improved by the ability to focus.
And,
you know, yogis have been talking about this for thousands and thousands of years and meditators and, you know, so depending on what calls to you to focus on, some people do really well staring at a candle flame. Some people do really well listening to music. What I'm just so interested in is inside of motion, coming up with really vivid, dynamic, you know, a variation of ideas and ways for people to think and to focus while they're moving.
So that's powerful. That's another bumper sticker, Allison. That's so great, right? Sorry, I feel like I interrupted, but just that last sentence, like a variety of ways of focusing in movement.
In movement.
As a powerful tool for reducing stress in the body and mind. Amazing, right? Yeah, wow. So great. The way you speak about it is so very clear. I think the audience can understand and pull from it this opportunity that lies within them to explore this. You know, now we can use the word imagery, right? Which is just all sorts of different focusing thoughts.
Exactly. So, just what you're thinking.
Right. Yeah. So Allison, share again your contact information and any upcoming events you might have in the world that people could attend.
Oh, yes. So my website, which pretty much just has everything, is workingwithyoga.com. And if you're in the Portland area, November 17th, I'm doing a big book release party with lots of pelvic themed events for the book.
Come on.
Exactly. And that's on the website. And if you're not in Portland, or even if you are and can't make it, the book is available on Amazon. I would love for people to read it and let me know what they think, because of course I'm hoping for nothing less than changing the world. So I'd love to know that that it changed maybe for you.
Yeah, exactly. And why not let that be all of our goals? Well, Allison, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to connect with everyone out there in the community. Allison, for taking the time out in your very, busy schedule and all of the things you have going on in your life to share in this, expressing to our community the possibilities, endless possibilities available to them to change their life. Thank you for all that you do to change the world, including it's always been an inspiration to meet and work with you since we met. Thank you to Zach and the Beautiful Truth is Funny community. Colette will be back next week on Wednesday at 8 a.m. And any final last comments, Allison?
I just want to say thank you. This is my favorite thing to do, is to talk about this stuff, especially with people who care and who are excited about it. And so thank you, Karen. Thank you, Zach. Thanks to everyone for listening. And and I hope to hear you all again soon. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, I hope we can do it again soon. So thank you and goodbye to all.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.